Today is the anniversary of what is perhaps the most famous handshake in history. It's on September 13, 1993, at the South Lawn of the White House, President Bill Clinton presided the signing of the peace treaty by officials representing Israel and the Palestine Liberation Organization. It was the culmination of secret talks that began in Oslo, Norway. That's why it was called Oslo Accord. And on that day, with some 3,000 people in attendance, Israel's Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin and PLO Chairman Yasser Arafat sealed the accord with that famous handshake to the cheer and jubilation not only of the audience, but of the whole world. And in fact, in that year, both Arafat and Rabin, and also the President of Israel, Shimon Peres, all shared the Nobel Peace Prize. Well, since then, however, the peace process has turned for the worse. Rabin would be assassinated in 1995 by a rightist Jew. Arafat died in 2004, and the present Palestinian territory, at least a part of it, is under control of Hamas, a terrorist organization committed to the destruction of Israel. In Israel today, the Prime Minister is once again Benjamin Netanyahu, a committed rightist in his cause. And peace remains elusive. But it seems that the good thing that had been done by such men as Rabin, Arafat, and Peres have gone to nothing. Even the reverse. And is that not the puzzle that often accompanies the good that people do? Expecting the best that would come out of it, the reverse sometimes happens. Yan ang misteryo ng paggawa ng mabuti. Gumawa ka ng mabuti at inaasahan mo na ang bunga nito ay yung kamainam, yung kaaya-aya, subalit ang nangyayari kadalasan ay yung kabaligtaran ng inaasahan. And our preacher in Ecclesiastes is reflecting a lot on this mystery of what is good and its fortune. In the second half of the book of Ecclesiastes, which began in 6:10-12, raised these two questions, which will become the burden of the second half. The first question is, who knows what is good? And it will have its reflection in chapter 7 and 8, which we already began last week, in a series of what's better, what's good. The second question is, who can find out what will happen? And it will have its reflections in chapters 9 and following. And these questions will become both a source of distress as well as answers of wisdom. Itong mga katanungan na ito, anong sinong nakakaalam ng talagang mabuti at sinong nakakaalam kung ano ang mangyayari? Yung mga katanungan na yan ay malimit na naging dahilan ng kabigatan nitong Ecclesiastes, ng mga ngaral sa Ecclesiastes. Ngunit paminsan-minsan ay makakakita at makakasumpong ng mga marurunong na kasagutan sa mga tanong na ito, and we need to be alert to those touches of wisdom. So in the second half of Ecclesiastes, I suggested that the keyword vanity will add a new sense. In the first half, the sense is that of brevity. In the second half, it still has that sense of brevity, but now with the additional sense of mystery. As the questions are raised, who knows? Who can find out? And as I've said, the effect is distress, even depression, but there will be touches of wisdom. And last week, as we reflected on chapter 7, trying to answer that question, who knows what is good, we learned that what differentiates is wisdom. The wisdom of godliness on the one hand and the folly of sinfulness differentiate the good and the bad in various life situations. There can be good in a bad situation through wisdom, and vice versa. What is good situation can turn out bad because of the folly of sin. Now this question receives further reflection from the preacher of Ecclesiastes, and I invite you now to turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, one of those chapters where commentators are more or less divided. You find all different approaches to this chapter. So it was quite a labor for me to get a message out of this chapter, but I hope it will prove profitable. Chapter 8, let's read verses 1-9. who is like a wise man, and who knows the interpretation of a thing. A man's wisdom makes his face shine, and the sternness of his face is changed. I counsel you, keep the king's commandment for the sake of your oath to God. Do not be hasty to go from his presence. Do not take your stand for an evil thing, for he does whatever pleases him. Where the word of a king is, there is power. And who may say to him, what are you doing? He who keeps his command will experience nothing harmful, and a wise man's heart discerns both time and judgment, because for every matter there is a time and judgment, though the misery of man increases greatly. For he does not know what will happen, so who can tell him when it will occur? No one has power over the spirit to retain the spirit, and no one has power in the day of death. There is no discharge in that war, and wickedness will not deliver those who are given to it. All this I have seen and applied my heart to every work that is done under the sun. There is a time in which one man rules over another to his own hurt. Let us jump to verse 14, to the end of the chapter, verses 14 to 17. There is a vanity which occurs on earth, that there are just men to whom it happens according to the work of the wicked. Again, there are wicked men to whom it happens according to the work of the righteous. I said that this also is vanity. So I commended enjoyment, because a man has nothing better under the sun than to eat, drink, and be merry. For this will remain with him in his labor for the days of his life, which God gives him under the sun. When I applied my heart to know wisdom and to see the business that is done on earth, even though one sees no sleep day or night, then I saw all the work of God, that a man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun. For though a man labors to discover it, yet he will not find it. Moreover, though a wise man attempts to know it, he will not be able to find it. So this chapter, as you notice, is bracketed by a similar thought, that of the mystery of life. Ito ang pinansin ng mangangaral dito. Yung kanyang umpisa at yung ding kanyang pagtatapos sa kabanatang ito ay kapwa nagsasaad ng misteryo ng buhay. The opening bracket is in question form, who can know the interpretation of a thing? While the closing bracket is an assertion, but both are saying it's beyond finding out. Walang makakatalos. He is reflecting, remember, on the question, who knows what is good? In chapter 7, he suggested that there is the role of wisdom and of sin. But in this chapter, he is reflecting on a painful puzzle. There are mysteries about doing good. Ang pinagmumunihan niya rito ay yung hiwaga sa paggawa ng mabuti. The mystery is, if God is behind good, and God is in control as sovereign, He should make it easy for us to do good. And He should make doing good a very rewarding thing. After all, He is sovereign and He is good. But that is not the case. And as the preacher reflects on this mystery, it pains him. This is an old puzzle. Philosophers and theologians have tried to solve this. But remember that our author is not a theology lecturer in a classroom. Our author is a preacher in a congregation. He's not interested in lecturing to a class of students whose only interest is to pass a quiz. He's preaching to men and women who must apply this truth to their day-to-day. Nangangaral siya sa mga tao na kailangan ng katotohanan na kanilang maipapamuhay sa pang-araw-araw. At ito ang kanyang interest. He wants a message to men and women who struggle with this mystery on a day-to-day basis. You try to do good, something bad happens. How do you explain that? Well, the message, I believe, would sound like this. Doing good encounters mysteries, but those who fear God know that it is still wise to do good. Doing good encounters mysteries, but those who fear God know that it is still wise to do good. Ang paggawa ng mabuti ay nakakatagpo ng mga hiwaga, ngunit ang mga may takot sa Diyos ay naniniwalang karunungan pa rin ang gumawa ng mabuti. So this chapter concludes with this concession. Though a wise man attempts to know it, he will not be able to find out. And that's quite a concession. Remember, this is a wisdom book. As a wisdom book, its theme is supposedly to commend wisdom. But here he is making a concession about wisdom's inability. Even the wise has something they cannot find out. And it is this mystery. Instead, he tells us that it is not even for the wise man to find out some mysteries of life. And this is especially acute when it comes to one's determination to do what is good. May mga bagay na maski ang marunong na tao ay hindi matuklasan yung hiwaga. At yung hiwaga na yan ay pinakamabigat tanggapin pagdating sa usaping ng paggawa ng mabuti. Paano mo ipapaliwanag? Gagawa ka ng mabuti at pagkatapos ang hiwaga nito ay sa halip na maganda ang kahihinatnan ay masama pa. Gumawa ka ng mabuti at parang nakasama pa. Yun ang hiwaga na pinipilit tuklasin, pinipilit sagutin ang palaisipan na yan ng mga ngaral dito. And in particular, in this chapter, he encounters two mysteries that doing good has to grapple with. First is the tyranny of rulers, and second, the reversal of fortunes. May dalawang hiwaga na nasasalubong madalas ng paggawa ng mabuti. Ito yung panunupil ng mga namamahala, at ikalawa ay ang pagkakabaligtad ng kapalaran o ng kahihinatnan. So unang hiwaga na kinailangan niyang sagutin, the tyranny of rulers. The first half of the chapter concerns the king. And in the ancient world, the king's authority was absolute. And the mystery of it is knowing that behind the power of the king is God's providence, and yet that power is often attended with wickedness to the detriment of those who want to do good. And you ask the question, why? Bakit hinahayaan ng Diyos na ang isang manunupil ay maging tagapamahala? Bakit hinahayaan niya na ang mga tagapamahala ang nagiging balakid sa paggawa ng mabuti? And what is said here of the king can be applied wherever you have to deal with authorities that become the source of resistance to and causing injury against those who want to do what is good. Ayan ang hiwaga rito. Yung mga otoridad, hindi lamang sa isang bansa. Otoridad maari sa iyong opisina. Otoridad sa iyong sambahayan. Otoridad sa lipunan. Iba't ibang uri ng otoridad. And wisdom will be challenged to its limit. One easy way out is take the stance of rebellion. If you're under tyranny, rebel. Or just concede absolutely. Those are the easy ways out. Rebel or absolute consent. But neither is wisdom. Wisdom is this: we take the stance of submission to authority while refusing participation in evil. Ang tunay na karunungan ay magkakaroon ng pagpapasakop sa mga namamahala, ngunit hindi makikilahok sa kasamaan. And it takes wisdom to strike the balance. To be under a good, competent, and fair authority is a tremendous blessing in any situation. Whether it is a nation, or an organization, or a workplace, or a household, or even in religious groups, to have someone in leadership who is both competent and fair, that is a tremendous blessing. If you are under one now in any situation, it's a blessing from God that you must realize you ought to be grateful for. In fact, the wisdom book of Proverbs makes many pronouncements on the blessing or curse that rulers spill over into their realm. Listen to Proverbs 29:2. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when a wicked man rules, the people groan. Kapag ang matuwid, ang namamahala, ang bayan ay nagagalak. Subalit kung ang masama, ang namamahala, ang bayan ay dumaraing. Ay totoo yan sa ating kasaysayan, totoo yan sa ating karanasan. This is true of a nation, this can be true of an office, this can be true of an organization, and mind you, this can be true of a church. Leadership affects the realm. And here the preacher advises respect and submission as the general stance towards those in authority, not rebellion. Ang payo rito ng mga ngaral ay paggalang at pagpapasakop sa pangkalahatan sa mga namamahala sa atin. He said, keep the king's commandment for the sake of your oath to God. Do not be hasty to go from his presence. This is very similar to what Paul said in Romans 13:5. Be subject not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. Kaya nagkakatugma ang sinasabi rito ng mga ngaral sa alam nating turo ng bagong tipan. The general stance of the Christian towards government, towards authority, is one of submission. And that is why it bothers me when Christians, in the name of God or in the name of faith, associates with militant radicalism. If you want to be militant in your politics, fine, but leave the Christian faith out of it. For that is not the Christian faith. We must resist turning Christian truths and Christian practices into methods for radical politics. As I always say, prayer is good, but prayer rallies, that's politics. Leave God out of it. And when Paul exhorts subjection to rulers, do you realize who the sitting emperor then was? One of the most cruel in history, Nero. Nero was the sitting emperor in the Roman Empire when Paul wrote both in Romans and in Titus that we must be subject to rulers. This Nero was the one who had his own palace burned because the Senate did not finance his project of a renovation. Ganun na ang Senado nun, nag-block na ng mga proyekto ng namumuno. Well, ang ginawa ni Nero, pinasunog niya para mapilitang magkaroon ng proyekto. Pero ang ginawa niya, tinuro niya ang mga Kristiyano na siyang may pakana nung panununog. And all around the Roman city, the cry was heard from the populace, the Christians to the lions. And all because of the lie of Nero. Now, this was the man who was then the sitting emperor, and when it was his interest to persecute Christians, he invented some of the most grotesque and cruel persecution of Christians. At one point when he had a party and an orgy in his own ground, he had Christians burned like torches to light his garden. This man was cruel. And yet, Paul said, behind that rule is the appointment of God. And you are to be subject to rulers. And so when I hear people list alleged corruption deals of the president and her family, and yes, they must answer to the proper venues, but they have not burned Christians like torches. And if Paul could address Christians and tell them to be subject to such a ruler as Nero, I think it is stretching too far one's faith to say that it becomes imperative to us today to be shouting invectives against GMA. You have your politics, you want to be in the opposition, fine. But as far as legitimate governing authorities are concerned, whether in Malacanang or in office, your stance ought to be submission. There is that controversy the other day during Obama's speech in the Joint Congress of the United States. A congressman during the speech of the president shouted at him, "You lie!" because they would not agree about healthcare policy. And what shames me is that the congressman is a professing Christian. We must take the stance of submission, whether you like the ruler or not. But having said that, let me make myself very clear, and the preacher here makes himself clear. Having advised respect and submission, now the preacher says, do not take your stand for an evil thing, for he does whatever pleases him. In the face of this absolute power of the king, And he may say things that command you, that force you, compel you to do evil thing. The preacher says, no, you don't. Even in the face of absolute rule. Your submission, in other words, will have its limit. Even before an absolute power, you will have its limit. It does not mean that you will directly challenge authority in a rebellious way. The wise man here says, a wise man's heart discerns both time and judgment. We would say today, be tactful how you speak to the king, how you speak to the authority. You don't simply speak to him in a confrontational way. Be respectful, be tactful, but don't be part of an evil thing. Don't be a part of anything evil, even if that comes from the king. Or as the ESV puts it, the wise heart will know the proper time and the just way. And usually wisdom will find a way not to participate in evil without being harmed. That's what our text says. But let me tell you, not always. And by that I mean, there are times when your principled stand not to participate in evil will mean for you harm from the powers that be. And the challenge here is that it is those who are prepared to suffer for principles who will make the most good. And so you're asking the question, who can know what is good? And the wise man is coming back at you with a question, do you really want to know what is good? First of all, are you prepared to suffer for it? It's not a mere theory of ethics, what is good and what is bad. If you are really committed to do what is good, sometimes you will be called upon to suffer for it. Are you prepared to suffer for that? So knowing the power of those in authority, especially in the case of ancient kings, they have a potential to harm. And those who would not submit to their will can even suffer the consequences and even the ultimate consequence of paying with their lives. And it can come to a point of choice. And 8 verse 6 is quite difficult, but I believe it has this sense. The verse 6 says, because for every matter there is a time in judgment, though the misery of man increases greatly. I consulted a lot of commentaries, and I think I got as many answers, different answers. But I think the sense is this. Choose the just cause, even if it means misery to you. It's as simple as I can summarize what it is saying. Piliin mo ang matuwid na simulain, ang matuwid na daan, kahit pa magdusa ka ng dahil dito. So this is the principle. You want to know what is good? Well, this is not theory. This is not philosophy. Doing what is good, if you put this on the ground, may sometimes mean suffering. Are you prepared for that? And even secular history reveals that people who were willing to suffer for a just cause were the ones who made impact. You only have to name names. Nelson Mandela of South Africa. We have our own Ninoy Aquino under the Marcos regime. People who were willing to suffer for their principles, and they made impact beyond their imagination. And if that is true in secular history, this is the very story of Christian history. This is rooted in the apostolic precedent in the New Testament that the church must suffer if it were to make good, if it were to expand. Tertullian already said so in a dialogue with a pagan philosopher when he was being confronted, why are Christians suffering if this is of God? And Tertullian's answer was classic. The blood of the martyrs is the seed of Christianity. From that seed of blood, it germinates, it grows. In other words, there's a principle of suffering. You will not grow, you will not expand. You will not have impact unless you're willing to suffer for the good. If good to us is just theory of selecting what is good and what is bad, it's nothing. But if you want to make an impact, then suffer for it. The early church knew that very soon after Pentecost, when Peter and John healed the lame man, remember, in the temple, and they were confronted by the Sanhedrin, and they were given a clear imperative never again to speak in the name of the Lord Jesus. The answer of Peter was classic, Acts 4, 19 and 20. Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. And that happens again. After they were imprisoned and beaten, they were again confronted, never again to preach in this name. And Peter repeats the answer, Acts 5, 29, we ought to obey God rather than men. They were willing to suffer the consequences. And people who make an impact are people who are willing to suffer under tyranny, under persecution. Let me tell you of a woman whose name does not ring a bell. Her name was Pandita Ramabai, an Indian Christian who took the cause for the liberty of Indian women, women of India, in the 19th century. At a time when it was a widow burning was practiced. It was only outlawed in 1828, and yet the practice continued. Yung pang namatay na yung asawang lalaki, wala nang saisa, yung babae, isunugin na. That cruelty. And cruelty to the lower caste was rampant. But Pandita Ramabai was converted. And she studied and became what was then almost unheard of, a pundit, a scholar. Women are not supposed to be scholars in those days. Yet she became one and became a national sensation. And she campaigned hard for the liberty of women, liberty known in their language as mukti. She said this, I was hungry for something better, and I found it in the Christian Bible and was satisfied. So here was a woman who believed. He applied her biblical faith and suffered for it. She died in 1922, having just finished translating the Bible into the local language. And her name was long banished from public memory in her own country because of her Christian faith. She suffered. And yet she made an impact. And brethren, this is the kind of good that is being commended here by Ecclesiastes. If you want to do good, the question is, are you willing to suffer for it? So here is one mystery. The tyranny of rulers, the answer is suffer for the good. The second mystery is reversal of fortunes. Yung kalawang hiwaga na sinasagot rito ng mga ngaral ay yung pagkakabaligtad ng kinahihinatnan. Yung matuwid raw, nangyayari sa kanyo yung dapat nangyari sa masama. At yung masama, nangyayari sa kanyo yung dapat ay nangyari sa matuwid. Yan ang sinasabi niya rin. And this is the reflection of the second half of the chapter. It pertains to an apparent distortion of justice. What happens to the wicked is what is supposed to happen to the righteous, and vice versa. And we can probably point to cases we are familiar with where this is exactly what happens. Nakikita mo yung mga masisipag, mga matatapat sa opisina ay nalalampasan. At kung sino yung mga hindi naman karapat dapat, sila ang itinataas. Sila yung parang mas nakalalamang. And the point of the preacher here is that it happens in a fallen world. In a fallen world, what is deserved is not always served because of human injustice. There are people in prison today who are serving time for crimes they have not committed. And there are people who enjoy positions they do not deserve. They enjoy fruits they have not worked for. And you may be in the middle of such a situation now. You may be getting the rough end of a deal, and you feel the painful injustice of it. And you may be puzzled that the Lord is permitting it to happen. But He mysteriously does permit evil to achieve apparent success. And it puzzles us. Sometimes it seems crimes pay. In fact, for some, crime pays very well. But the point of the preacher is only for a time. And the challenge is therefore, it is those who are willing to leave it up to God who will be rewarded for good in the end. Yung mga handa na ipaubaya sa Diyos ang makakatanggap ng gantimpala sa kahulihan. Maring lampasan ka ng katarungan ng tao, ngunit hindi ka lalampasan ng Diyos. Kailangang ipaubaya natin sa Diyos. I told you this morning that yesterday Michael Jordan was inducted into the Hall of Fame of American basketball. In fact, there was another man together with him who was also inducted into the Hall of Fame. It's not everybody's favorite as Michael Jordan was. He happens to be my favorite. And my son knows this. John Stockton. He may not be as great a shooter as Michael Jordan. His greatness is in passing. He still carries the record of assist in the NBA. Assist is a pass that results in a goal. And he has the most number of assists. He was good, in other words, at making his teammates look good by passing to them the ball. And he earned his greatness that way, passing it to another so that he may get the glory. Well, that is what is being asked of us. Pass it to God. Let Him get the glory. Let it skip you for a while. Let justice seem elusive for a while. But the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 6, God is not unjust to forget your labor of love. Ang Diyos ay hindi walang katarungan na malimutan ang inyong gawa ng katuwiran. 1 Peter 2:19, this is commendable if because of conscience toward God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. So in other words, accept it when there is injustice. It happens in a fallen world. Move on when promotion passes you by. Don't take it too seriously. Don't be embittered when others are being commended while you are being criticized wrongly. Behind this ability to move on despite injustice is the conviction that God is the ultimate judge. And it was armed with this conviction that Christians readily faced martyrdom in times of persecution. The reversal is only apparent. The reversal of fortune is only temporary. This is one of the reasons why one of my favorite stories in the Bible is the story of Joseph. You see him being sold as a slave by his own brothers. What could be more hurtful than that? And there in Egypt, when he was serving well his master, he was framed. And there in prison, when he did good to his prison mates, he was forgotten. Again and again, it seems that he was always getting the raw deal. But in the end, everything he himself said, this was planned by you for evil, but God intended it for good. God was behind it. You have your own agenda. God's agenda will be the one to prevail. And this is what we need to hold fast to. But let me tell you the real misfortune in this passage. The real tragedy of reversal of fortune. And it is there in 8 verse 10. I saw the wicked buried who had come and gone from the place of holiness. Inilibing daw ang masama na siya'y paulit-ulit na dumalo sa dako ng kabanalan. So this man probably was a frequent attender and offerer there in the temple. And yet for all that, he had all the opportunities, but he died a wicked man. That's the real tragedy of reversal of fortune. When you live your life with all the opportunities given to you, when you have heard the sound of the gospel again and again, and you have all the opportunities, you have all the time to receive the blessings of the gospel and proclaim yourself a follower of Christ, but for one reason or another, you procrastinate, you say there is more time, and you refuse until suddenly death takes over and you die a wicked man, you die in sin. When you have been to the holy place, hearing the gospel again and again, but dying unconverted, that's the real reversal of fortune. If I'm speaking to anyone here, you're letting some reasons delay your coming to Christ. That reason is never right. It may sound to you right, it may sound to you just, but it is not. It is the reason from the devil. And do not allow him to hinder you from coming to the good things of the gospel. What's hindering you? What's keeping you from the good of the gospel? And the time may just come when you will be buried, having come and gone to the holy place. And no matter how we weep over you, nothing will change your fortune. And while you are here having the opportunity, I'm pleading with you, come to Christ. Delay no longer. There is no reason to procrastinate. There is no better time. There is no space or time that you may say is just for you to try first before Christ. Come to Him now before the tragedy of reversal of fortune happens. And for those of you and me committed to do that is good, yet mystified by all this reversal of fortunes, listen to 8 verse 12. I surely know that it will be well with those who fear God, who fear before Him. He's saying that in spite of apparent reversal of fortune, it's really those who fear God who will be rewarded. Even if it seems injustice is permitted. Let me tell you the story of Dr. Boris Cornfield. He practiced his medicine at the time of the rule of Joseph Stalin of Russia. By any historian's account, one of the cruelest in history. Millions were killed. Others committed to the place, camp, for imprisonment and hard labor known as the Gulag. And Dr. Boris Cornfield had a special commission to work in the Gulag. His commission was, if there were any prisoner who would be hospitalized, he should make sure that if there is no more use for that person, he should die legally. Do something so that his death can be proclaimed as legal. That's what he did. Yet, one day he was converted. And when he was converted, he refused to be the instrument of the wicked regime. One day a patient was put in his clinic, and instead of his assignment of putting him on legal death, he did everything to resuscitate him and to heal him. Not only that, as he was healing him, he was witnessing to him. He was telling him about Christ, about his death and his resurrection. When this was learned by the prison authorities, Dr. Boris Cornfield was taken, tortured, until he died. That's not the end of the story. The patient survived. He learned of what happened to Dr. Boris Cornfield. And he himself was converted. And this man became a powerful voice in the whole world. Alexander Solzhenitsyn, whose books and writings have been used by God mightily. And this only reveals to us what in God's providence he is able to do, even if someone apparently receives injustice. God has his wise ways of rewarding our commitment to do what is good. And I'm asking you now, perhaps there is something that you are sparing because there appears to be a raw deal. Baka meron kang ginagawang mabuti, subalit parang ang kinahihinatnan pa ay kabaligtaran. Nagpipilit kang maging maayos, nagpipilit kang gawin ang tama, ngunit may mga balakid at hadlang, kung minsan ang gagaling sa otoridad. At kung minsan, yung palaisipan ng kabaligtaran. Ngunit hamon ito, mga kapatid, na ipaubaya natin sa Diyos. That God is able to do as He pleases, as His justice determines to reward those who fear God. And this is the thought of our hymn, our closing hymn. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. There may be such a cause, a calling, a duty that you want to spare because of tyranny or because of reversal. Don't. Suffer for it if you must. Pass it on to God. He knows how to reward the work of the righteous. Let's close in prayer. O dakila naming Diyos at Ama, kagaya ng mangangaral, nararamdaman namin ang matinding sakit ng palaisipang ito, ng hiwaga sa paggawa ng mabuti, kung bakit may mga pangyayari na nagpapahirap dito at kung minsan tila kabaligtaran ang kinahihinatnan ng paggawa ng mabuti. At sa particular na hiwaga na binanggit dito ng mangangaral, ang hiwaga ng panunupil ng mga namamahala at ang hiwaga ng kabaligtaran ng kinahihinatnan. Naway magkaroon kami ng angkop na paninimbang dito at huwag kaming magpigil sa paggawa ng mabuti nang dahil sa ganitong mga palaisipan. Help us, Lord, as we encounter these mysteries of the tyranny of rulers. We encounter them not just in nations. It may be that we are under one in our situation. And we pray, O Lord, that at such times, they will see in us our submission and respect to their authority, and yet one that will not participate in evil. It takes wisdom. Indeed, wisdom will be tested to the limit, but that is what is being asked of us. And that means for those who really must make an impact of good, they must be willing to suffer sometimes for the good that we do. And help us, Lord, to be willing to go through that. For that is the principle that is given to us for the expansion of the church and for the impact of good, to be ready to suffer. And what is suffering to us when our Lord and Savior has suffered most? Grant that there would be a willingness on our part to suffer for Him. And when we encounter this mystery of the reversal of fortunes, when what happens to the wicked is what is supposed to happen to the righteous, and what happens to the righteous is what's supposed to happen to the wicked, yet we are reminded here that in your sovereignty, you sometimes allow injustice, you permit it to achieve apparent success for a time and temporarily to test our commitment. And may we hold fast to the principle that it is still wise to do what is good. And let the fear of God in our hearts be animated for such a commitment. And help us, Lord, to be willing to leave it up to you, knowing that in the end, God is not unjust to forget our labor of love. In many ways, sometimes mysterious to us, yet you never fail to reward the labor and work of the righteous. So help us, Lord, to continue and persevere what good we are doing, and leave it up to you to reward it according to your time, ways, and situations. We bow to you, to your sovereignty, to your ultimate goodness and justice. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.